This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Dan Nielsen, a unique and fascinating great individual, is joining us today. He's a bright, bright person, used to be a hospital CEO, now talks on leadership throughout the country, and he's going to talk today about a recent book he's read, but also about leadership in general, about Bob Iger, the ride of a lifetime, who had been the CEO of Disney for many years and took it through its great growth and back into the American sort of leadership in media and business. Dan, let me take a moment to ask you to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your career, and then we'll get going with some of the bulk of the discussion on leadership.
Five quick comments about me. Number one, I'm an inspirational leader. I love to engage and inspire and empower others. I literally live to serve. I really do. Number two, one of the greatest accomplishments I receive from people is when they say, Dan, you are an encourager. To me, that's worth a lot. I love to encourage people, build people up, help people, help them find what they really want to do in life, what's important, and get it done. Number three, I love people. I love to learn from people, love to read, think, write, serve as a speaker and a moderator, love to share and contribute through LinkedIn and my books and my speaking, etc. Four, I strongly believe and live the philosophy, if it's to be, it's up to me. I think that is really, really crucial and can be life-changing if it's taken seriously and followed through on, and I try to live my life based on that. And last, I would just say everything I do, everything I am is about service to others.
And Dan, I have found what you talk and the words you speak to be true in how you actually live and operate, which is not always the case with people, but just a true pleasure getting to know you the last several years. Tell us a little bit about, you know, you found the Bob Iger book interesting. Tell us a little bit about that and some of the advice that comes out of that. And you would pass it on to me. I read it as well, found it fascinating, and just so many pieces to it. But talk a little bit about leadership and what you thought of, you know, coming out of that book.
Sure will. Now, you know, I'm not saying that he's the perfect and best CEO or leader in the world, but I am very, very positive about the book because of the priceless wisdom and the lessons learned. So, as you said, the book's title is A Ride of a Lifetime, Lessons Learned from 15 Years as CEO of the Walt Disney Company. From my perspective and from the perspective of a lot of other people, because it's it's selling very well, I find it very interesting and intriguing because of the stories. You know, we all listen to TV or see media and we hear Disney buying this or Cap Cities bought ABC or whatever. And you really don't know the backstories. This book provides fascinating stories about the backstories of how these kinds of things happen. Also, it has a lot of credibility. You know, basically any metric you can imagine. If you look at Disney over the last 10 years, every metric and all of the key stakeholders have done very well, been very well rewarded for the investment and involvement. One of the things I really like about it, I mentioned this just a minute ago, but is the stories from the beginning of the book to the end of the book. His career decisions, specifics regarding what he learned from various circumstances and positions he had as he went up the leader. This guy is a learner. He's made mistakes like we all have. He's had failures like we've all had. He's had great successes, unlike very many of us have ever had. But through it all, he learns, he focuses, he observes, he watches carefully, and not only does he learn, but he applies it. So that, to me, is fascinating, and the stories that he tells.
And thank you very, very much. Let me ask you a couple just to continue the conversation forward. He had a fascinating situation and was running Disney, felt like they were not where they had to be in terms of, animation, which was the heart of Disney back in the day. And so he ended up going out and buying Steve Jobs' company, Pixar. At some point, he went out and bought Lucasfilms, the Star Wars franchise. And when you see all the Star Wars things released today, you see all the animation, they're all part of his developing these relationships and taking these big, big bets that most people were very scared to make. And his board was questioning, He also went out and bought 21st Century Fox, not Fox News, but the films and everything else, and built this huge content engine and then a huge distribution engine. And, you know, and is and writes about in this book. He also, for a long time, served as the number two to Michael Eisner. And most people in their careers will serve as a, you know, if they're going to be CEO, at some point they weren't CEO and they served as a number two to somebody. Any thoughts and lessons that somebody should take from serving as a number two and making sure they don't upstage their boss, but they do continue to grow and develop? Any thoughts on that?
You bet. And that was a very interesting part of the book, the 5 years that Bob Iger reported to Michael Eisner. Eisner was there for 15 years as CEO. The first 10 were great. The last five were very, very difficult for both of the gentlemen. But I would, to answer your question directly, I would say number one, patience, patience, patience. And that's very easy to say, very difficult to do. But, you know, both men were very successful. Both men were used to getting their way, prevailing, et cetera. And so I think patience is number one. I think number two, a person in the number two position who is waiting his or her turn or whatever, you know, I would say they should remind themselves over and over on a daily basis what is really important long term. They're going to be frustrated. They're going to have trials and tribulations through this time. But keep your eye on the long-term objective. And that's how Bob Iger survived that situation. He worked hard. He focused on learning. And I think you can turn this into an opportunity. You're number two. You're waiting your turn, if you will. You're frustrated maybe in that situation. But turn it into an opportunity by focusing on what you can learn from everybody around you and all the situations so that you'll be even more ready and more prepared. And that's exactly what Iger did, and ultimately through a lot of interesting stories that you've read and I've read in the book, he was finally named, after a lot of patience, he was finally named CEO. And as I say, the rest is history.
So it's sort of great patience, constant learning, constant contributing. He talks a lot about doing your day job great and not being so fixated in the next job, making sure you're doing whatever you're hired to do fantastically well. How important is that in your perspective?
I think it's crucial. You just reminded me, I did an interview with Chris Van Gorder 3 or 4 years ago, because I do video interviews and audio like you do. And I was interviewing Chris, and he through the interview, he told me a story about someone in his organization. Happened to be a young lady who was always at the networking events, always looking for the next position, the next step up, the next opportunity. Long story short, they ended up having to let her go because she didn't do the job well that she had. And so again, Iger, I don't think he's perfect, but I think he's a great example. Every step from the first day he joined ABC as basically a runner, an errand boy, all the way up, you know, he tried to do the job he was doing to the very best of his ability. And as Chris Van Gorder said in my interview with him, do your job well, people will come and find you. You won't have to go to them. They'll come find you. Concentrate on what you're doing now. Do it well.
Well fantastic. And another question. He did a great job of defining, here's the two or three things we have to be absolutely great at. And how important is that as a leader to be able to clarify that vision of here's what we have to be great at, here's what we want to really do fantastic at?
I think it's super important. You know, it's so easy to get detracted by all the opportunities, particularly in an economy like we're in right now. But you're right, he identified three things. And basically, I'm doing this off the top of my head, but they were number one, great content. He knows and knew that great content was important. Number two, technology, all the platforms, all the Pixar technology, all the things that make these incredible box offices go. And then the Disney World and Disneyland, all those parks, everything else stems for that. And number three was go global. So he had three key objectives: great content, great technology, go global, reach globally. And if you look at the record, that's exactly what they focused on and what they've done through all of the acquisitions that you mentioned when we started this call.
It's really, in whatever you're doing, some great clarity as to what you're trying to achieve is just so important. Because without that, it's like if you don't have a plan, you can't get there. Some clarity about what your plan is and what you're trying to achieve. You've had a lot of leadership positions in your life. You've excelled professionally. Any other thoughts you could share with our audience about leadership?
Well, number one, I think it's fundamental that we look at every person as a leader. I get frustrated when I hear companies, and frankly, I was involved in some of this at some organizations where, well, leadership decided this, or leadership's going to do this, or we need to check with leadership on this. Now, I'm no dummy. I'm not naive. I've been around the block many times. I realized that senior people are going to make the most important decisions. They should, et cetera. But by having this constant conversation of, I don't know, we'll have to ask leadership. Leadership this, leadership that. You are implanting in people's minds that they are not leaders. And I'm talking at the manager level, director level, senior VP, senior director level, VP level. Constant reminders that I'm not the leader. I'm not a part of the leadership of this organization. I think that's a huge mistake, and I think to do the opposite has unbelievable ramifications. If you tell people and show people and just demonstrate to people that they are a leader and you have expectations of them as a leader, I don't care if you work in food service or if you work in janitor and housekeeping or whatever, all the way up throughout the entire organization, people will meet your expectations. They will become a leader in the area that they're in and grow as a leader if you treat them that way, if you expect that and empower them. Another point I would make is I'm all about engaging, inspiring, empowering. I think that is the essence of leadership. Engage people and companies, inspire people and companies, empower people and companies. And if I can be so bold, Scott, to just say, Your own companies and your own experience demonstrates that we must engage, inspire, and empower. If you do that well, everything falls in place and people end up accomplishing things that you would never, ever accomplish by yourself.
I think that the concept of, there's two things you said that I think are just fantastic. One, everybody's a leader. If you treat people like we're leaders and you're not, it is a losing situation in the long run. It's a very top-down, bad organization in the long run. Leadership does have to provide direction, but everybody in some ways has to, in the long term, be a leader of their own lives, their own careers, and what they're doing for the business. The second thing is empowering others is everything. Many of us, myself included, have, at the end of the day, ultimately limited vision. There's only so much we have. And if you empower people that are smart and focused and in the game, they will take visions to a whole different level because they see things differently. They've had different experiences. They've looked at these differently. And the more that people recognize that need to do that to empower others, the further they and their organizations often go. There's almost no way around that you just can't get there if the vision starts and stops with yourself and not empowering others on every level. So I think magnificent thoughts and comments. Dan, I know you do some keynote speaking, you do some writing, you do a lot of facilitation and counseling with people. You're a great inspirer to myself. You're a great role model. You've become somewhat of a mentor. How do people reach you if they want to reach you and learn more about what Dan Nielsen does, or if you could speak for them or be a keynote speaker, what have you?
Thanks for asking. Just several quick things. Number one, they can reach me at dan@dannielsen.com, and it's N-I-E-L-S-E-N. A lot of people misspell it, but dan@dannielsen.com. I have several other email addresses. I have a website called America's Healthcare Leaders. I interview people like you do and do a lot on that particular website. But dan@dannielsen.com comes directly to me. All the other email addresses come directly to me. I'm very active on LinkedIn, have nearly 30,000 direct contacts, and including you. Thank you, Scott. And I love your stuff on LinkedIn. But I'm on LinkedIn and elsewhere. So there's no difficulty reaching me. My cell is 214-695-1292. Be happy to try to help people if I can.
Dan, I want to thank you for joining us today. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on today and visiting with us. Just a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Scott. Appreciate it.